everybody, and welcome to this episode of Build It Better. Excited to be here today. My name is Tracy. I'm one of your co-hosts. You can follow me on Twitter at Lady Late. I have two other co-hosts here.
We're going to introduce our guest co-host first. You want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hey, I'm Abby Perini. You can follow me pretty much everywhere with at Abby Perini. And honored to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you. And we're at Render, so that's why if you're watching this on video, she has a cute outfit on. Very cute. I love it. And Ben, I don't know about you. What's your excuse? Not sure.
I don't have a cute outfit. It's true. I had, actually, Amy and I had the same exact outfit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I can't. I can't do that to her. So I decided just to dress him.
Yeah. Okay, well, do you want to introduce yourself?
No.
No?
I will, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My name is Ben Lesh. You can find me on Twitter, at Ben Lesh.
And we're here with Lori today. Lori's so excited to, like, sit down and hang out at Render.
Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Chat about all the trauma that you've experienced in your development career.
So we brought him upstairs to a room. We closed the curtains.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody put on leather gloves.
That's true.
People were in costume.
This is all, I have a bat.
This is all exact. These are facts. This actually happened.
And now we're podcasting.
Yeah.
So
we've just gone more and more depraved. Every single part of that sentence.
This isn't a normal podcasting experience for y'all. This is pretty par for the course for me. So
okay, Lori, like, maybe talk about, like, who you are, what you've done.
Sure. I am a web developer at heart. That's how I always start with introducing myself. I've been developing web pages since 1996, which means I have some web pages that are older than people, which is really quite worrying. And for a while there, I was a co-founder of NPM. And now I am a data scientist at Netlify, where both of those two jobs, I spend most of my time looking at all of the web developers in the world that I could get my hands on and what they are up to and trying to figure out what they're going to do next.
Ooh, fun. And well, we initially started talking about this, and you were going to tell us, like, all the exciting adventures you had at NPM that Ben is curious about.
Yeah. Tell me about the train wrecks. I like the train wrecks.
There were so many, especially in the early days. I think the first one that I remember was, it was literally the day that we announced that we had become a company. So there were five of us sitting in, like, one little, like, room of a rental office in Oakland. And we needed to switch, or we thought we needed to, we wanted to switch SSL certificates for the registry. And that should be fine, except that until then, SSL in Node had been quite complicated. And it didn't have a root certificate. So the root certificate was built into the NPM client and had been built into version 2. And nearly everybody was on version 3, or we thought nearly everybody was on version 3. So we were like, version 3 doesn't have this problem. And if we upgrade the SSL certificate, everybody will be fine. They'll just upgrade to version 3. So we changed the SSL certificate, and all hell broke loose, because we had no idea how many users NPM had at that point. We thought we had, like, you know, a couple hundred thousand users. We thought we were pretty popular. But as we soon discovered by going to the top of Hacker News, we had millions of users, and also a lot of them couldn't upgrade NPM. My favorite one was a maker of hardware routers had started using NPM as a way of distributing the configuration of the router. And so NPM 2 was baked into the firmware of actual routers, and they were like, we can't upgrade without a site visit. You need to roll back. So because of all of the screaming, we rolled back and we had to stay on that SSL certificate forever. Because,
like, forever, even now? Like,
it's from the same provider because of the root cert, and there are still people hanging out with NPM 2.
Right, you know those routers are still going, right?
Oh, yeah.
Routers have a long lifetime.
Yeah. You hope. You don't want to buy multiples, so.
Yeah. So that was like, and that was when we were, you know, relatively small. Like, we grew, like, you know, 100x after that. And each screw up got progressively more dangerous. Another one that I really enjoyed was, we got screwed by silent type conversion, which I think is a very JavaScripty way to get screwed. We had the registry, when you changed your password, it would have to like salt, it would hash your password by running bcrypt 10 times. Except that the way that it did that was a for loop. And it was like, you know, until I equals 10, but 10 was a string and I was an integer, so it never equaled 10. So it bcrypt would just run forever. And the way that we discovered this was the registry would just eat cores of the main server. Anytime anybody on the website was like, I need to change my password, a core of the main server would get pulled into constantly running bcrypt, and we would be one core less. So we had 64 cores on the main box. And over the course of, you know, a couple of hours, 64 people would change their passwords, and then the registry would crash and we would have to reboot it. until we figured out that the registry was going down one core at a time, and we were like, okay, we should find what the hell is doing that.
See, so double equals would have saved you, but triple equals was not your friend.
No, it sucked. Yeah. And we thought we were being so, you know, we thought we were being all best practice-y with the triple equals, but no. Triple equals screwed us forever.
It's pretty good.
I love this so much because I started learning code in 2020, so NPM is just like this, like, stable thing that I've always used. It's always been there. And like to hear that it's just the same thing, the same JavaScript, is amazing.
It was just the Wild West. In the early days of NPM, the most annoying thing about NPM was that NPM couldn't use NPM packages because NPM was built in CouchDB, and CouchDB predated NPM, so there was that didn't have package support. So everything in the NPM registry was hand-rolled. We couldn't use any packages. The whole thing was written from scratch. And we fixed that eventually. It became a thing that you could build with NPM. But then we had the other problem, which is that NPM required NPM to deploy NPM. So if the registry went down, there was no way to bring the registry back up because the registry was down. So we ended up running a second registry whose only purpose was to start the first registry. And that's what it was for.
Pretty good. You just hope that one doesn't go down too.
Yes, exactly. We were just like, we have double redundancy. That's never bitten anyone on the ass, right? That always works out.
Yeah, that makes me feel, this all makes me feel better about the minor kerfluffle I caused. So we were talking about this beforehand, which was I deployed a version of ArcGIS on April Fool's Day. I'll never do another April Fool's joke. I deployed a smush version.
The smush gate.
Yeah, so it was, they had a smush operator, so it was like 6.0.0-smush. And it was like, okay, so we have a beta version, and what happened was all of a sudden the beta version got trampled by the smush version of this. And that was the day that myself and probably around a dozen or so people near me that were all very smart folks, like, learned about how Semver actually works. there's no magic. Like we thought what this was is, yeah, Semver, if you add dash and beta or dash alpha, like, those are like special tags of their own. And like, we didn't realize that, no, it's just alphanumeric, like, ordering by character. Like, it has nothing to do with, so it was such a wreck. So, like, if you go and you look on the NPM registry right now at ArcGIS, you'll see, like, these weird names that I had to make up until version, I
believe
it was 6.
This is, like, a good, like, this is a good, like, what are those called? Like, clickbaity, like, dumbest things I've ever done as an open source maintainer. I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb.
We were talking to Scott Tulinski about, like, how he built up his YouTube and things like that, and he said he changed I don't know after how many years, but basically the progression was doing more like, you know, like 10 things I learned with blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we could do that. Ways to F up being an open source
maker. Is this a PG podcast, by the way? That's what I wanted to know, because my conversation is usually littered with profanity, and I've been holding back.
I swear sometimes. She sometimes scolds me for it, but sometimes she doesn't. Not always.
I mean, it's not like PG, but I don't know. The listeners will have to tell us, because I actually don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Explicit lyrics, just get that little
just F it.
There, I did it.
Excellent.
Oh my,
the seal is broken.
There we
she
go.
She tries his face and she looked at me like, oh my God.
Okay, what other weird things have happened to you in this life?
I think the other one that occurs to me is I didn't do it. Microsoft did it. Microsoft launched a version of VS Code that automatically looked for your TypeScript files, types for all of the JavaScript packages that you were using. So it would look for every single one, just in case there was a type description file. And, you know, they were like, we tested this out with a canary of a couple hundred thousand users of VS Code, and it worked perfectly. And then they rolled it out to every VS Code user in the world, and it took down the registry because when it went looking for a package, it would get a 404, and it wouldn't cache the 404. So then every time you went back to that file, it would look for it again, and it would do that for every single file in the tree, for every single instance of VS Code currently open in the world and looking at JavaScript. Yes, so every VS Code instance in the world was DDoSing the registry. And 15-year-old me would have been really pleased because he got to call up Microsoft and say, I need you to roll back VS Code. And they did.
Oh, God.
It was the most fun call because we were like, we got bumped like 3 levels at Microsoft instantly to some kind of VP. And he was like, yes, it does appear that we are DDoSing you. Sorry about that. We will try and not do that.
That's so funny.
And now Microsoft owns the registry, so it's their problem.
Yeah. So, like, how did you find the right Microsoft person, though?
It was extremely haphazard in the beginning. It was just, like, random people on Twitter who worked in Microsoft, and we were just like,
get me the names. Look at your internal fucking thing and tell me who the highest person you can give me their email address.
Because the registry was down, so everybody in JavaScript was aware that something was wrong. So everybody was asking us, and I think somebody actually tweeted, like, VS Code is screwing the registry. Could you please tell us, get somebody in touch at Microsoft with us to do something about this? And that rapidly ended up in, like, you know, 1,000 people DMing at once.
Yeah, uh-huh. They're DDoSing your DMs.
Because they're on Twitter because they can't do anything.
Right. Yeah. Everyone's just sitting around.
We were talking about good t-shirts to make earlier, and I think I didn't do it and Microsoft did it is an excellent.
Very true.
Yeah, it was nice to be able to blame somebody other than ourselves, because we really, we fucked up the registry so many times ourselves. Like, usually by accidentally removing packages.
Finally! Somebody else messed up. And it's Microsoft of all people.
Yeah, that's one thing that occurred to me after RxJS became popular. I just remember like realizing like, wait, the scale of this means that, because like this, I was mentioning before this also, that there was a moment before lock files that I deployed a bad version or a buggy version of RxJS that broke people's builds,
mm-hmm.
and like, people's builds were breaking overnight, and I was literally getting phone calls from people I didn't work with, and I didn't even know how they got my phone number. Like, they were calling me on my personal cell phone. And, like, that was a moment when it occurred to me, like, holy crap, like, the scale of this is, I do something bad, and thousands or maybe even millions of developers are now sitting on their hands, and all of those people are paid resources, and oh my God, like, I could accidentally cost billions and billions of dollars
in a matter of a few
hours. Or you could
just, like, hold them hostage and just be like, well, if you want me to solve this problem, $5 each person until I reach $1 million, and then I will go and solve this problem for you. But I still remember when you were telling me with ArcsJS, and Lori, I don't know if you guys had this, but it's like, 6 people are using it. 10 people are using it. This is so great.
I remember that. I remember looking at the count on the NPM and being like, I know who those people were and how many of them are me. For like weeks. Like, I knew that. And then like one day it suddenly passed like 1,000. And I was like, yeah, I don't know who all these people are all of a sudden. And like,
and then all of a sudden you feel like you have responsibility. Like, I feel like the Vue team, for example, they're like, well, we can't be experimental anymore. We need to, like, have stability now.
Yes. You're like, oh, we need process and probably some kind of security story. And
governance, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Growing up's no fun, even when you're software, it turns out.
It's not.
Do you miss those days then? Do you ever want to, like, go back and, like,
No, it was horrifically stressful.
Yeah.
It was watching a snowball roll down a hill and like engulf village after village. You're just like, oh, there's nothing I can do about this. The villages are going away.
Was there any point where you like felt some level of like stability ever?
This is getting into inside baseball. One of like NPM Inc. as a company was not successful from a venture capital point of view because it was not like a home run, make a shit ton of revenue type company. But that was not, you know, don't tell the VCs or, you know, tell them now because it's all over. that was never priority number one. Like that was why it didn't happen is because it was never priority number one. Priority number one was keep the registry running.
Yeah.
And the registry went from, you know, in 2009, it was a joke that, you know, and by 2013, it was just like, you know, NPM is down constantly.
Yeah.
And by 2020, people weren't thinking about it anymore. People were just like, yeah, NPM, it's just that oxygen that is always present.
I feel like that was like, even like 2015, it's like done.
When is the last time you remember the registry going down worldwide? Like it used to happen daily, like literally
really?
Daily
oh
because
my
of
God.
The core thing with the 64 processor. and now, by, I don't know, 2016, 2017, it just wasn't happening anymore. And that felt good. Like, it didn't feel as good as, like, having a profitable startup would feel, probably.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you what that feels like. But it felt good to know that we were, like, you know, achieving job one of, like, of people no longer worrying that the registry would be up or down.
Yeah. But it's funny because it's like it being down all the time wasn't stopping users from continuously joining and publishing packages.
No, it really was not.
So did NPM ever look into, and this is probably some public knowledge thing that fell out of my head, but did NPM ever look into a way to try to get like open source authors paid for the stuff they put on there?
We thought about it an awful lot. And every time we tried to think about it, we, you know, being good software engineers, we thought, how would this break? How would this get abused? What bad incentives would this create?
Right.
And we could never come up with a way that would pay software authors that wouldn't simultaneously destroy the JavaScript community.
Right.
Like, as soon as you're like, so everybody cooperates on this open source stuff. What happens if you getting credit for that commit equals an actual dollar amount?
Right.
As soon as that happens, if you like, you begin to spiral off into bad outcomes. People are like, I have committed 1,000 things to this thing, therefore all of the money belongs to me. I committed my docs update one commit at a time. I have committed 10,000 lines of comments, therefore 80% of the code base belongs to me. I like, there's just so many ways that it goes wrong. It's so hard to get right. Like, you know, does the person who invented it get more than the people who maintain it now? Do you fall off after a certain month? Like, it was just mind-bogglingly.
Yes, we've never started a Patreon or something like that, because
yeah,
it's like,
we talked about
how
it.
Do you, you know, who's doing it for whatever? How do you distribute the funds? How do you decide who gets what?
It's
what's
just
there?
Mind-bogglingly complex. And the other problem is that nobody wants to pay for it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People are like, I will use this free software, you know, in my mission-critical production enterprise system, no problem at all, unless it costs any money at all.
Right.
In which case I will not.
Oh. Okay, well, how do we find you on the internet?
I am at alpaca.gold on Mastodon.
Okay. No more Twitter? Are you off?
I'm off. I went cold turkey the very day that they unbanned Trump.
What about Blue Sky?
I'm also on Blue Sky as seldo.com.
Okay, nice. This lovely young woman got me an invite. Thank you.
I did.
Ben did it.
I didn't have it.
Right during the drama storm, too.
So annoying.
Just plopped you right in there. Yeah, that was my one invite. And I was like, who's the coolest?
Oh, thank you. So nice. I didn't even ask.
Yeah.
Maybe I did. I don't know. But
you did not.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So, yeah. So anyways, thanks for listening, everyone. And thanks for hanging out and telling us some horror stories.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
It was fun.
All right. See y'all soon.